Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you take the time to listen to each week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We pray that you could join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on the live stream. We do our live stream each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, chat, pray, worship, grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, watch any of our worship services or weekly messages or our children's messages. We're going to celebrate the ending of the year with Christ the King, the ending of the church calendar year with Christ the King, and we just celebrated Thanksgiving. Today, we're going to look at what is one of the marks of the church. What is the mark of the church that is so deep and profound that I don't think we can even come close to plumbing the depths and the meaning of this mark? What comes to your mind when you hear the word Thanksgiving? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? How do you give thanks? How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? How do you live a life of Thanksgiving? The holidays are here, and we just celebrated Thanksgiving, hopefully with family and friends. And we shared meals, we shared our lives and love together. Today, we're going to take a few minutes and just scratch the surface of the mark of the church called Thanksgiving. We have two long readings, but before we dig into God's word, let us pray. God of mercy, grace, and forgiveness, we gather today with a thankful heart. We give all of our thanks and all of the glory for the lives you have given us. We're so thankful. We are so grateful. Help us to always live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. In chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, the Ark of the Covenant is brought to Jerusalem. When the Ark arrives by chapter 16, David and all the people begin to worship. The Ark has been brought into the tent that King David made or pitched. What we are going to read from 1 Chronicles is King David's praise and thanksgiving song. If you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 36, it is a long reading, but it's a long reading of thanksgiving. The day David first committed to Asaph and his associates the psalm of thanks to the Lord. Verse 8, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servants, O sons of Jacob, his chosen one, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that it is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Ooh, what a wonderful, wonderful reading from 1 Chronicles. By doing this, King David reminded the people of Israel that worship was to begin and end with the Lord. King David took several of the Psalms that he had written and combined them together in his praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. You probably didn't notice, but David uses the title, the Lord, 14 times. David wanted to remind the people of God's work, verses 8 through 13, God's words, verses 14 to 22, and God's wonder, verses 23 through 36. David wanted the people to be thankful and to offer up thanksgiving sacrifices of praise for God's work, God's words, and God's wonders. King David wanted the people to offer up thanksgiving and praise for the Lord's glory, his greatness, and his goodness. Can you imagine the excitement of the day? The ark finally came to Jerusalem. One day the ark would disappear, but the inspired song of praise and thanksgiving has remained for all generations to use as they worship God. King David does not end the song with God's works, words, and wonder. King David reminds the people that after they have worshiped, you must remember to witness to the lost, verse 23, and to do your part in getting the worship of God out to the nations of the world, verses 24 through 31. I found an interesting and compelling statement from Archbishop William Temple the other day when I was reading. Archbishop Temple was the 98th Archbishop of Canterbury, and he pointed out the essential nature of worship in this article. He said this quote, I'm going to quote this Archbishop William Temple. He said, "For to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." It has been said that many people worship their work at their play, and play at worship. Let me re-say that again. It's been said that many people worship their work at their play, and play at worship. One Dear Abby column described a poll the writer took asking churchgoers why they went to church. Not one of them mentioned worship. Wow. Think about that. So what? Why do we come to worship? Why do we come to church? Why do you listen to these broadcasts on the Seed of Faith? What is Thanksgiving? How do we become a people of Thanksgiving? When Paul wrote the letter to the church in Colossus, he was sitting in prison in Rome awaiting his own death. Paul had never been to Colossus, but he had heard of their faith and he was thankful for their love for Christ. Paul wanted to proclaim the preeminence of Christ when he wrote this letter. His theme of the letter was one of thankfulness. Let's listen to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister for Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and praying for you that you your love of the Spirit. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Whew. What a great reading. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Thanksgiving is thanks living. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving is thanks living. You have understood the power of giving thanks and living with a thankful heart as thoroughly as Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor and novelist. Here's the transcript of Wiesel's story on Oprah Winfrey's show. Oprah asked this question. There may be no better person than you to speak about living with gratitude. Despite all the tragedy you witnessed, you still have a place inside your heart for gratefulness. Elie wrote, absolutely. Right after the war, I went around telling people, thank you just for living, for being human. And to this day, the words that come most frequently from my lips are, thank you. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in hers or his humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude towards gratitude. Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And really, the so what question this week is, are you living with gratitude? Are you living with thankfulness? If you need prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. We will respond. I'm getting emails from people writing their prayers. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer is that you will live a life of thanksgiving. You will live a life of gratitude, and let our prayer team pray for you. I was sharing a transcript from Oprah Winfrey's show when she interviewed Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, and he said that we should live as people of gratitude, of people of thankfulness. Oprah once said, does having seen the worst of humanity make you more grateful for ordinary occurrences? And Elie said, he responded, for me, every hour is grace. Ooh. I'd pause and ponder that. A man who lived through Holocaust says, for me, every hour is grace. And I feel gratitude in my heart each time I can meet someone and look at his or her smile. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your joys. I don't know your sorrows. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I know that you have the opportunity to see people. And do we live every hour in grace? Do we live with gratitude when we can see a person with a smile? I'm going to encourage you this week to smile at someone and see what happens. Smile at a grocery clerk. Smile at the doctor's office. Smile at your workplace. Smile while you're driving down the freeway. See what will happen. What a powerful testimony of living with thanksgiving. Elie went on to say, when a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude toward gratitude. Well, how are you being defined? Are you a grateful person? Oh, boy, I know. We're not supposed to pause and on the radio, but are you a grateful person? In the Old Testament, when the word thanksgiving is used, is very closely tied to praising God. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. The New Testament seems to take this idea one step further. Not only are we to praise God and give thanks, but we are beginning to learn how to live a life of thanksgiving. Listen to John 16, verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed the loaves to those who were seated. Jesus gave thanks to God when he shared what he had. When I went to my Logos computer, I use a Logos computer program. When I went to my Logos computer program and put in the word Thanksgiving, it downloaded an overwhelming amount of reasons for Thanksgiving. We thank God for his character. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his presence. We thank God for his answers to prayer. We thank God for his works. We thank God for his wonders. We thank God for his words. We thank God for his victory over sin and death. We thank God for his forgiveness. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God for his power. We thank God for his peace. We thank God for his love. What maybe a good so what question at this point in time is, what are you thanking God for this week? Where has God touched you? Where has God shaped you? Where has God formed you? Where has God healed you? Do you remember that the Lord's Supper is called the Great Thanksgiving? We celebrate the Great Thanksgiving, or the Eucharist, every time we share the sacrament of communion. So what? Sean Archer, a psychologist who teaches at Harvard, suggests that we train our brains to become more grateful by setting aside 5 minutes a day by practicing gratitude. Okay, here's a challenge for you. Can you take 5 minutes each day and be grateful? He cites a one-week study in which people were asked to take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day to write down 3 things they were thankful for. Did you hear me? Take 5 minutes a day, try to do it at the same time each day, and write down 3 things. Not a big list, 3 things. I love the 3, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. It's a good Trinitarian point of view. Write down 3 things that you're thankful for. Maybe you could do that right now while you're listening. What are the 3 things that you're thankful for? Take 5 minutes a day, try to do it at the same time every day, and write down 3 things you're thankful for. Do it for a week. Maybe it's in the morning when you're getting ready. Maybe it's in the evening before you're going to bed. Maybe it's during the middle of the day or at the end of the day. Write down 3 things that you're thankful for. They don't have to be big things, but they have to be concrete and specific, such as, I'm thankful for the delicious takeout food that I had last night. Or I'm thankful for my daughter and gave her a hug. Or I'm thankful for my boss who complimented my work. The participants simply expressed thanks for 3 specific things the same time every day. At the end of a month, the researchers followed up and found that those who practiced gratitude, including those who stopped the exercise after 1 week, were happier and less depressed. Oh boy, do we need that today. We need to be thankful. Remarkably, after 3 months, the participants who had been part of the one-week experiment were still more joyful and content. Incredibly, after the 6-month mark, they were still happier, less anxious, and less depressed. The researchers hypothesized that the simple practice of writing down 3 Thanksgivings a day over the course of a week primed the participants' minds to search for the good in their lives. Let me say that again. When we write down 3 things that we're thankful for, it primes the pump where it primes our minds to search for the good in our lives. I'm going to challenge you this week to take a moment, try to take 5 minutes a day, try to do it at the same time each day, and write down three things that you're thankful for. Here's your so what. I've given you a lot during this message. At the same time of the day for the next week, write down three things that you're thankful for. Three specific, concrete things. Here's three things that I wrote down as I was writing this message. I'm thankful for the doctor I'm thankful for the two doctors this week that performed surgery on me. I had two surgeries this week, and they did a great job. I'm thankful for my wife, who has now become a caregiver, changing my bandages and watching over me, watching my time and my stress. I'm thankful that I was able to go to dinner with my wife and two good friends the other night and share some memories and laughs. I'm thankful for being able to walk around the mall with our three grandchildren and to celebrate the night with a Starbucks coffee. They're just little concrete things that I'm thankful for. The research is in. If we can do this small listing of three thankful things for this week, we're going to be happier, we're going to be less anxious, and we're going to be less depressed in a week, in a month, and even in 6 months. This is a wonderful season for us to turn the praise of Thanksgiving into learning how to live a life of thanksgiving. First, our Thanksgiving goes up. We praise God. And then the Thanksgiving comes down to live among us as we share what we have with others in our family, at work, at school, at the grocery store, and even at the freeway, the places that we meet people. I'm even going to help you out. I've made up a chart for the week. Each day has three spaces for you to write down what you're thankful for. I can send you that chart. I've added a verse for each to memorize as you do this exercise, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition or supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I'd ask you to memorize it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think Jesus was on to something when he lifted the bread and the cup and he gave thanks. I think the early church was on to something when they called communion the great thanksgiving. More than anything, I want us to wear this mark as a church, as a Christian. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Jesus, others, and you is joy. Lord, teach us to be thankful. Teach us to be a thankful congregation. Teach us to be thankful Christians. We put you, Jesus, first. We praise you. We are so thankful for each person that listens to these broadcasts. Help us to give thanks for all you have given us, and help us to share with others why we are so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Be gracious this week and be thankful. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.